I've been meaning to talk to Howard Bryant for a while. Our conversation or our schedules haven't exactly synced up until today, but he's the author of a book called The Heritage, Black Athletes, A Divided America, and the Politics of Patriotism. And while that's in the wheelhouse of what I wanted to talk about, there was something that in the news actually really made me think about him, and that was the ongoing controversy this year about whether or not athletes should take a knee during football games. And there was an article, you know, during the national anthem. And there was a story in the paper a couple weeks ago now. And one of the people that they quoted was like a former lieutenant commander in the military. He was a high-ranking military official. And this guy said something that Steve sort of echoed a little earlier, and that is that these airplanes that are flying around Chicago are instruments of war. And so when we're at a baseball game or a football game and there's some formation of planes that flies overhead and everybody cheers and it's really cool to see. I mean, nobody here is denigrating the military or the importance of it, but it's kind of odd, said this former military official, that at a happy athletic event, we're at a sporting thing, we are saluting and cheering on instruments of war, machines of death. I mean, those were his words. And if you just step back and think about it that way, the guy's got a point there. But then you wrap it up in a bow and you say, yeah, but America's game is baseball and the NFL and this, what's wrong with saluting America at a sporting event like that? So that's kind of the back and forth of this sort of thing. And Howard Bryant has written a little bit about that, and he joins us on WGN. Howard, it's John Williams. How are you today?
Hi, John. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Senior writer for ESPN.com, ESPN the magazine. You've authored a number of books, and you were actually quoted, or was it your article that I was reading, or was it were they just quoting you when I was reading about that, Howard?
Well, no, it was my article, but they were quoting William Astori, who's a lieutenant colonel, former lieutenant colonel with the Air Force,
yeah.
And he was very, very clear. You're right about the juxtaposition of that sort of celebration, of that display. What does it actually mean when we're doing this, and what are the implications?
So then you go from there to this, you know, sort of debate at the NFL, which is on hold right now, right? We're in the preseason, and they haven't exactly determined how they're going to handle the players that don't want to stand at attention. Am I right about that?
Yeah, they haven't made a decision yet. I think they're trying to at least come to some conclusion as to whether or not, you know, you're going to fine players, or what they, if there's going to be some sanction, should there even be a sanction? And then, of course, my employer, ESPN, I think announced this afternoon that they weren't even going to show the national anthem before sporting events and before the NFL games this year. And so that brings another question, and who is that for? Is that for the fan who is watching the game and just wants football, so we're just going to finally phase this out? Because there have been some people who say, hey, is this even necessary? Or is this anti-protest, which is to say, look, we're not going to give these players a platform to protest in the first place. So once again, we're in a really divided place right now. And it is really going to be interesting to see how this shakes out and what makes it go in whatever direction the future has in store for it.
How often and in what sports do we actually see on TV the national anthem anyway?
Well, exactly right. And that's another point. It's this, we're not even talking about the game. And when I'm thinking about this, this reminds me very much of the steroid era in baseball, where every year or every World Series, at some point, instead of talking about two teams playing for a championship, we were talking about drugs. And now this is our third season now, 2016 with Kaepernick, 2017 without him, 2018 with the collusion and the national anthem things happening. Now this is the third straight season where instead of talking about the game, you're talking about this. And in fact, with the NFL, you can actually add to it, because we were talking about head trauma and Ray Rice and domestic violence and the rest of it before that. So this league, it's been a long time,
yeah,
since the game itself was front and center.
So then, to make that go away, they said, all right, well, let's create a national patriotism controversy.
Yeah.
Although the president was the one that was stirring the pot on this again.
And continues to, absolutely.
So, if he did that to the NBA or MLB, maybe it would be complicated for them as well if he began to insert himself.
I think what's interesting about this and what makes the NFL different, why are we talking about the NFL when we're not talking about basketball, because you've got a Stan Van Gundy or a Greg Popovich or LeBron James or Steve Kerr. They've all been even more vocal against the president. I think it's the way ownership has handled it. I think that the NBA has they've got a relationship with their players where they say, okay, well, we have a rule where you don't kneel during the national anthem. So the players have abided by that. But the league, Adam Silver, the commissioner, has not taken away their voice. So LeBron can say whatever he wants about the president, and so can Steve Kerr, and the leagues aren't fining these people. So it's your First Amendment abilities to speak are not at issue in the NBA the way they are in the NFL, where the NFL, it feels like the players feel like their voices are being silenced. Totally different management strategy, totally different way to handle it. Obviously, maybe it has something to do with the fact that the players' money in basketball is 100% guaranteed and the players in football aren't. That might have a tiny bit to do with it.
They're sure able to hold that over their head. Howard Bryant's on the phone line. His book is The Heritage. Do you think we should have the national anthem before baseball games?
Well, you know, it's funny. In the book, I don't mention it. I don't even talk about the national anthem because I think that it was something that we have been, it's been a part of it my whole life. It's been a part of it so much. I think what I had been dealing with is the ratcheting up of the patriotism and God Bless America and the rest of it post 9/11. That was the area for me where you're looking at nearly 20 years of this. And if you're going to add the national anthem to it, that's fine. But I think the world existed pretty well without it.
Okay, but wait a minute. All right, so then, yes, let's leave the national anthem before the game.
Well, my point is that what I was saying is that I think that it hadn't been, I don't remember the national anthem being very much of an issue. I think what's become an issue is the commercializing of patriotism post 9/11 and God Bless America during the seventh inning, and the fact that this, you've got the camo uniforms and the alternate jerseys and all of that. However, if you're reaching this point where you say, and some people have said that to me, well, why do we have any of it? That's a different question, but it may be very much the same. Do we need any of this? Do you just start the game the same way when you go to a Broadway show? Here's your show, enjoy your show, be entertained, and go home.
We don't do it before a Broadway show or a lot of other collective things, but we do it before sporting events, and that's an interesting point, but there it is. I'm comfortable with it for one reason, because it's so rare that I don't go to school anymore. But my point is, at school we used to say the Pledge of Allegiance before class. There was a sort of routine, and there was an assembly of people, and there was occasions for the national anthem or the Pledge of Allegiance. But now that I'm out of school, I don't have occasion for that much anymore, except at baseball games when we all stand, and it feels good to, most of the time, pledge allegiance or...
But we're talking about two different things, though. We're accepting the national anthem. I think what we're also talking about then are these inter-game sort of tributes where someone out onto the field, or I'm interested into what percentage of those is paid for by the military, and what percentage are the teams actually taking in money to create this sort of transactional patriotism.
Well, exactly, and I think the difference is, and when you were talking about this, something just sort of hit me, which is the difference is I don't remember. I've been watching and playing and attending sporting events my whole life, and I don't remember the national anthem essentially being commercialized and commodified. But I do see the rest of this being commercialized and commodified. So I think I sort of separate the two, and especially as you said, when you start looking at the John McCain, Jeff Flake paid patriotism report, where we've found out for the last several years that these sports teams have not been celebrating troops as an organic display of patriotism or even gratitude. It was a money play. This has been commercialized.
In the NFL. In the NFL
and basketball and hockey and NASCAR and the rest of them. They're all doing it.
And was that almost exclusively when I see that, a transactional thing, the way my colleague here, Steve Bertrand, put it, that it's paid for? They don't
absolutely. Absolutely. And then during, I was watching a game last night during the Patriots Eagles preseason game. You look over and they've got the big support the troops thing with all these players and with all these soldiers in this designated section. They're all profiting off of this. And that's where the veterans step in and say, listen, if you want to celebrate us, give us services. And it's a billion-dollar industry, and we don't want to feel like props. I think those are really interesting conversations to have.
And I want to say, too, I'm not just bothered by the teams making money by it. I'm bothered by the government paying for it, because those of us who are in the stands or watching on TV are then sort of put into this enforced show of patriotism, and we are seen as less Americans or lesser Americans if we don't take part. And,
yeah, well, John,
and it's really just a commercial for them.
Yeah, it is. But here's the interesting thing about that. And I am not taking a position on this. I'm just telling you what they told me when I brought this up when I was researching the book. And it was, yeah, we're absolutely advertising. We need to man the force. Our numbers are down. Enrollments are down. We can't get this type of advertising that you can get at a football game. If, and I remember Russell Honoré, the three-star general who was so instrumental in the Katrina cleanup, I talked to him for an hour, and I remember him saying to me, listen, one, to your point, maybe we need a little bit more patriotism in our lives, and this is a spot to actually show some deference to the country. But also, in terms of manning the force, in terms of advertising, if some kid at a Dallas Cowboys game looks up and sees an F-14 flying overhead, and that motivates him to join the service, then mission accomplished. Because I remember saying to him, I said, well, listen, I don't want my 13-year-old being recruited by the Army just because he wants to watch the Red Sox.
You been to a Blackhawks game?
I have never been to a Blackhawks game. I've never been to a hockey game in Chicago. I never got to go to Chicago Stadium. I haven't been to the United Center. It's a shame.
Well, then you don't know anything, evidently.
I mean, you might as well not stand for the national anthem.
Because we have such a celebration for our national anthem at a Blackhawks game.
But again, John, that is a completely different thing. That is a natural, organic tradition that formed with the fans in the stadium.
Here's what I'm doing, Steve. I am cherry-picking my displays of patriotism that I do and don't like. And I like the national anthem at a Blackhawks game when they will, at a baseball game, call out a service member and the camera signs on them. And it's been a friend of mine a couple of times, and I don't know, I like applauding guy.
Some of those displays are also paid for. For example, the Milwaukee Brewers paid the government something like, I'm sorry, the Wisconsin National Guard paid the Milwaukee Brewers something like $49,000 to have a hero come out on the field and to sing and to play God Bless America. $49,000 to do this.
Okay, would we all feel different about this if they weren't paying for it?
Yes.
Because it's the commercialization of patriotism, which is one thing, but it's still kind of a cram down. That is, you went to a sporting event and a patriotic parade broke out.
Here's the thing. If they weren't paying for it, it wouldn't be happening.
It wouldn't happen. Absolutely right.
We'll pause for just a second. You got one more minute?
I do.
Howard Bryant's book is called The Heritage, and it's about some of these things, but listen to the subtitle, Black Athletes, A Divided America, and the Politics of Patriotism. Howard Bryant's online. He's the author of The Heritage. He's written other books, including one about Hank Aaron. His other books include Shutout, A Story of Race and Baseball in Boston, Juicing the Game, about the drugs in baseball, and The Last Hero, The Life of Henry Aaron. But now he's talking about The Heritage, which is this sort of divided America we find ourselves in, oftentimes over black athletes, but over patriotism, too. So we're concluding the conversation now, Howard. Is there kind of a takeaway from you on this? What's the bottom line? How do we decide when we do and don't insert some patriotism into sports?
Is that I think the most important thing to me is what we're doing or why we're doing it. And I think that we've created an environment for ourselves now where you have these players who are essentially having their citizenship questioned. They're having their patriotism questioned. And it's not simply the patriotism that I'm like, does it bother me? Do I think it's appropriate? Not necessarily. I think that post 9/11, it has changed our lives forever. And if you're of a certain age, it's all sort of weird to you, because for me, when I was a kid, it was the Soviets, it was the Cold War that had defined all of us. And my son is 14 now. He was born in 2004. So for him, all of the flags and flyovers and all of that is really normal for him. I think the issue for me more is the threat that comes with it. And the threat being that if you don't do this, we take your career, like Colin Kaepernick, or if you don't do this, then we blackball you. And that the powerful leagues and these powerful corporations are suddenly going to take away your livelihood. I think that's really chilling. That's kind of frightening. That's the un-American part of this for me.
Has the NFL painted itself into a corner this season? What should they do?
I think they should back off. And I think they should do what the NFL, what the NBA has done, which is to say, look, our players are individuals, our players are citizens, our players have a right to say what they want to say. We're going to provide the entertainment for you to watch this game. We're going to make the game safe for you, and we're sort of going to take a step back from this. And guess what? We are confident that people will enjoy the product and that the sun will come up the next day. I don't think there's any reason for all of this muscling, to be honest.
I hope you can come on with us again, Howard. You're really an interesting conversation and a good read, too. But give us more of your time again on another day.
Please, call anytime.
That's Howard Bryant from ESPN and ESPN the magazine.